change mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
thanking you for giving us another day. Another day to be able to come and worship you, sing songs of praise, to remember your son around the table. Father, to worship you, we pray in spirit and in truth. Thanking you, Father, for the blessings that we have, for the health that we have, that we can be here. And for those that have been mentioned this day, Father, that's on our sick list, Father, we pray that the things that minister to them, and may it be in such a way that they can regain their normal walks in this life. We ask you to watch over and care for them, Father, and those that minister to them. Thank you so much for your Son that came into the world, gave us the word that you would have us to know, and to die on the cross for our sins. Father, we pray that we can be more like him every day in our lives. Thank you for the word that we have, that we can study it, that we can learn who you are and what you want us to be, Father. Help us, Father, to study it and to learn it and to obey it in such a way that we can be found faithful in your sight. Thank you so much for the church, wherever it meets throughout the world. And Father, we pray especially for this congregation. Help us, Father, to keep on doing your will. And Father, we pray that we can grow stronger in number, and Father, we can grow stronger in our faith and be better servants to you. Thank you for allowing us to live in a country that we live in. For the freedoms that we enjoy, Father, and for the bounty that we have, Father, we pray that those that administer their government, that take care of us, for our president and all of the senators and all of those in Congress, Father, we pray that they will look to you for guidance and help, and not to man's wisdom. But we see what has happened, Father, for abandoning your word and going the wrong way, how it has really caused America to be in such a shape as it's in. We can only beg you, Father, to protect us and help us to sustain this nation, that we may some way, somehow, turn it around to where it is once again a nation that praises you and, Father, worships you. For the other countries that don't know who you are, Father, we pray for those people. We're so thankful for those that among our number as the church to be sent over to places of different nations to teach those people your word. Help us, Father, for them to have an easy life, to deliver your message, to get it to those that are in need and in want of it. Amen. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us. For the things that we have in this life, every blessing that we have, Father, we realize it comes from you.
Yes.
Help us, Father, to use them in such a way that it will glorify your name here on this earth. Be with us through the night. Help us, Father, to determine to have a good week, and with your blessings, Father, help us to be able to do the things that we need to do this week. Father, help us always to look forward and always coming back and worshiping you. Bless Brother Robert, Sister Jane, as they work here. Father, we pray that you bless them in such a way that much good can be done at this place. Father, always we look to you for your love and for your care. And we know, Father, that you love us and you have promised that you would care for us. Be with us. Thank you again for your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. This morning's lesson was a lesson in regard to how to maintain our relationship with the Lord, His right way, and enjoy that relationship with Him. But tonight, we need to pay attention to something else. In the study that I did last week, I noticed that in the book of Jude, in the first chapter of Jude, the last couple of verses, there was really a statement made that brought my attention to tonight's lesson after this one this morning. And that was the idea of finding a person who would be faithful to the Lord in his right way, because he says there in Jude 1, verses 24 and 25, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." If we could not fall away from the Lord, once being saved from sin, could we have these words to be true in the Scripture? Would these words be factual? They would not be. "But now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory." It is the case. Jesus had said regarding this matter in Matthew 7, verse 13, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate." He says that in regard to this word strive, meaning make the effort. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow way. It's a difficult way to enter. There are things that are left outside. There are things you cannot carry with you into that way. And thus he says, strive to enter in the straight gate. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in therein." Then he mentions the explanation of the straight gate. He says, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few there be that find it. Can we go into that straight gate and walk that narrow way and yet leave that final way, leave that narrow way? Can we do that? It seems to me that Jude is saying that, "Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory," that it's possible that that would happen. Will we be some people that find ourselves so far away from the Lord that we would be people that he did not honor and not follow? In regard to this matter, we find in the pages of the Bible description that is given in 2 Peter chapter 2 in reference to this matter of falling away. In 2 Peter 2, beginning at verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." What's the better thing to teach our children, our grandchildren after us? What's the better thing to have been taught as we were growing up in life? How to make money, how to make a living, how to make things right and good, or how to remain faithful to the Lord? I believe the latter part is so important, because it says here, verse 24, "If after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome." He's saying the pollutions of the world have come about to that person's life. And instead of following the right ways of God, the better thing to teach is how to remain faithful to God in spite of the challenges of this world. And when we do that, we have served a good purpose, because that good purpose here is named, as he goes on to say, in verse 21 of 2 Peter 2. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And then he describes it in the most pitiful kind of way. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire or the mud. To be clean and to be there and to be ridded of that which was interrupting your stomach and interrupting your enjoyment of a food, it'd be better not to have that happen. It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. There are people that you know and I know that it's difficult to bring this subject up, falling away from the Lord, if after they have a knowledge. It's more difficult for them to somehow or another think that they miss it. I've had people explain to me that they had something to happen in their lives, and they were quite sure that I couldn't understand all the things that they had happen, but it got them away from the Lord. Got them away from trusting in the Lord. Got them away from the patience they had with the Lord. Got them away from doing right. And I said, what about the explanation of doing what is wrong? Is that the right thing to do? Something that is wrong? And I had very few that would stay with me that long in that study. But there was one who said, I knew that you wouldn't quite understand what I faced. And because I faced that, I left the Lord because I didn't see him standing with me. And I said, well, in the first few verses of 2 Peter chapter 2, he describes that. He says in verse 13, notice there, in 2 Peter 2 at 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. I believe that we teach the right way. I believe that we preach in the halls of this particular building the right way. I believe we would say, wait a minute, if it were the wrong way. Because that's the way that we have been taught. We have been trained and we've been taught. And that's why we're here tonight. We've been faithful because we were taught to be faithful. When I left out of Kosciuszko, Mississippi, 1965. We had been to services of the church and all, and my dad was talking to me about going other places. And he said, you'll be at other places, and you'll be with people who don't see it necessary or see it good to be at a Sunday night service. But see if you can go and tell me that on Sunday night you get information different and more than you get on Sunday morning. And that you'd miss something if you got that information never to be understood, never be heard by you. One time that particularly was ripe, Paul Sparks was preaching in Durant, Mississippi. Well, in Indianola, Mississippi. And it was a little trip from Batesville to Indianola. And I was extra tired on a Monday morning, talking myself into don't go to that event. And one of the preachers that was for the Herald of Truth program, well thought of, was going to be visiting there at Indianola, and he'll be speaking to the preacher's meeting that came about as Paul had arranged it, and we would meet together and talk about things and hear him speak about things, and then we'd go to eat together and we'd talk together there a little bit, and then we'd break up for the day. And I finally, that morning, looked at the clock and saw that it was just 8 and I could make it in plenty of time down there for a 10 o'clock meeting. And I decided to go. And if I had not gone that particular morning, I would have missed something that I've been preaching, and I'm the only one that's been preaching it that I've heard ever since. He was speaking regarding God's providence for us, how God provides for us. And he was emphasizing passages of the scripture out of Samuel and out of Chronicles that deal with God talking to the people of Israel as to what he does for them. And in regard to that matter, one particular passage in Deuteronomy 8 at verse 18 is a passage that is in reference to God and his right way and doing right things for him. Let me turn back there to that particular passage now and talk about Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, I think, is the verse for it. Yep, Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Notice what he said there in verse 17 about things, and you'll understand more of the nature of verse 18. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. They were talking about going to that good land of promise and flowed with milk and all the things of good that God would bless them with as they went into that promised land. And he said, you'll be tempted to think that it was your hands, your planting and your harvesting that brought about all this great wealth. You had it in abundance, you could sell it, and so forth, so on. But he says in verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. It shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, ye shall utterly, surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. He was the only one in all these 63 years of preaching that I heard emphasize Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 20. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. How many men I've talked with that thought it was because they were at the right place at the right time. They were there and had the ability to get that. And they got great wealth because of what they did. And the Bible tells me that God gave them the ability to make great wealth. And I would have missed that and missed teaching. I preached this at the Get Well Church of Christ 5 years ago when I did a gospel meeting up there, well received. And elders won't always tell you the truth when they say, you'll be back up here again. I have not yet been back up there again. But I look forward to the invitation to come and be a part of it. I talked to one of the elders the other night. He called me and talked to me about it. But I used this particular passage in one of the lessons I preached. And I had folks that had Emerson J. Estes and Allen Hires and others to preach for them and do gospel meetings for them. And they came up to me after that particular lesson. And they were emphasizing and had their Bibles open to this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Telling me that they had never read that statement in their Bible. They didn't know it was there. They never had read that statement in the Bible. The Get Well congregation is one of the strongest congregations of days gone by. One of the wisdom parts of their time, they had a lot of people that had some wealth and great ways, and they set up funds for them to go on through the years, that when things became difficult there, that they would be able to continue to print materials and get materials out and mail it out and so forth and so on. And they have. But they said they never saw those verses before I introduced it that night. I would have been able to introduce it, but for my being down in Indianola on that day and that particular time, where a spiritual teaching was being done, my dad said, always be a part of it. Always grow. You can hear something that you never will hear before. I found that to be true. I loved my mom and dad, and the wisdom that they had, they shared with me. And when I went off to school, I had not been there to school. I had not been to a Wednesday night service. We had meetings on Friday nights. We were in a place that had milking cows and milk and cheese and things like that were fixed up and all. And they sold that, and they worked steadily through the week. And then when it come Friday, they would let up a little bit in the afternoon, get the cows in the barn and fed one thing and another, and then they would come to services on Friday night. So I went to services on Friday night with my mom and dad, and was a part of Bible classes with them and with others that were there at that time. Well, my dad let me know that there were places that wouldn't have Friday night, but they would have some night of study that they would be doing. And take advantage of it if you can. He didn't tell me you have to. He told me if you can. When I got up to Henderson, Tennessee, the announcement was made regarding their Wednesday night Bible classes. The college people were in a certain area, and they had studies that pertained to their age and their time. And the older people were in the auditorium and had that class studies that pertained to their age and their time. And I went to those services. I never felt like that it was a delay on my part. And I've never felt like that it was something I shouldn't be doing. You should be upholding God's Word, learning God's Word, and you never can remember it all from one lesson that you heard preached. So you can't remember it all from one lesson ever preached. This is the way that God teaches us and wants us to teach. That's the way of life that He wants us to follow. And when we find a way that we can be that kind of person, it'd be better never to have left, never to have known the way of righteousness, than to have known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. There are holy commandments that we have obeyed. We believed in Him who came. We've confessed His name. We repented of sin and shame and sorrow about having lived in sin and wrongdoing. We were baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. We thank God for the privilege that we have of serving Him, and we look forward to that day when we'll see Him face to face. But we can fall away. It's a sad thing to happen. It's a terrible thing to happen. But here is plainly the statement made. And Jude puts it in a very positive way. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling, Jude 1:24, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior. I think he's talking about Jesus there. I know God, the Heavenly Father, but commonly, God, the Heavenly Father, speaks regarding His Son as the Savior. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What a blessing it is have you here tonight and to study with me this important lesson that'll be on the internet, and it'll be available for people that come in there, and we'll find out someday how many have listened about that. Maybe it made a difference for their lives, that they'll be a part of the services on Sunday night, Wednesday night, any other time that the church gets together. When the church gets together for a gospel meeting, sometimes there are people who show up that just don't do anything else from the church, it seems like. But that's a good time to do it. It's a jump start time to do it and to remain doing that. Remain being faithful to the Lord. The song of invitation provided tonight, if anybody's subject to Jesus' invitation, as we stand together and sing this song, lift your weight to the front and let it be known, and we'll pray with you about these matters for good. Let's stand together as we sing.
The door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding. Whose is the voice I hear? Open the door for me. If thou would heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I open wide, though He rebuke and chasten, He shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me, if Thou would heed my call. Bye.
I didn't mention the once saved, always saved doctrine of some people.
Christian love, the fellowship of kindred mind is like unto that above.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we had this opportunity to gather together tonight, hear another portion of your word spoken. Pray that each of us is gained by being here tonight. Please watch over us as we are.